So I'm here in sunny Calac with Momo and Aniko, who I've interviewed before for Spotlight on Brittany, separately on different subjects, well, on general things. But the reason you're together here today is because, well, I came to a wonderful concert that you gave recently in a church.
Yes, it was in Carnoët. Yes. Church of Saint Gilda.
And it was fabulous. And you tell me that you're kind of busy doing a few concerts.
Yeah.
We started last summer. We did two concerts last summer locally. And we did one earlier. Well, where the concert you came to. And also we'll be doing one at the end of the month.
We did another one that was a live stream concert.
Yes, April. It was 30th of April.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, was it that?
That was live stream from your studio, wasn't it?
That's right.
And how did that go?
Well, it's always stressful because we're just learning the technology.
It was the first one that you did at the coach house, the Devil's Coach House.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had done one with an accompanist.
Yeah, that's true.
With Mike. Well, apparently it's not polite to call people accompanists anymore. You call them collaborator because you do collaborate, essentially.
Except in France, sorry to interrupt you, collaborate still has overtones of the Second World War.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we say collaborate. It's
So you wouldn't say that in French, but you would in
English. Yeah, you could.
Maybe colleague would be better or something.
Yeah, colleague's good. Mm. But
gosh, there's so much.
So then the subtleties of language, I don't know, we're all swimming in the middle of it, aren't we?
Oh, it's fascinating, though. And it's good to try and be respectful of the culture that you're in, I agree. He and I did a musical theatre concert, and that was our first one. The thing that's tricky is that when you've got a live audience and you're doing live streams, so you're doing tech and you're trying to manage a live audience, that's because you do want somebody there, to give you the energy, because it's not the same as singing to a camera. But that is tricky unless you have a team of people. So it was just us two, plus I was performing.
Yeah.
And that makes it very difficult.
It's tricky. Yeah.
You, when you say us two, it's you and Steve.
It was Steve, and Steve runs Sound Factory Studio.
Yeah.
And so he was doing the tech side,
right,
including the sound and the video. So that's all new.
You're planning to do some more live stream concerts,
yes,
aren't you? Yeah. Well, that's going to be really interesting to see how that works. And dare I ask how many people you had online watching at any time or listening? Watching or listening? Was it a
both.
Video?
It was both. Video as well. Yeah, I mean, I think at one point it wasn't a whole lot. It was like 35 at the moment. But then people did go back and watch it at different times because they weren't always available.
Yeah,
we did have more views.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. I had people in the Philippines who are like saying, "We're waiting for it to start."
Yeah.
And then I got a friend in Australia saying, "Oh, I'm drinking my morning coffee listening to your concert." And so thank you.
Incredible. Yeah. Okay.
Because the time change, that's always tricky.
That was after the concert. Yeah, she was able to go back and see the.
So the duo that I saw in the church in Carnoët why did you start doing it? And tell us a little bit. For people who won't have heard you yet, what do you do? What's the catalogue? What's the program?
So how did we start working with each other?
We made friends first, didn't we?
We made friends, yeah.
That always helps.
We had a coffee.
We had a coffee and we sat down.
We realised that, we had a lot of things in common.
Lots.
Like uncannily, a lot of things in common. So people, when they see us, they say, "Are you sisters?" So when we actually did get together, it was true. People are right. Sometimes they're not right. Sometimes you go, why? Yeah, but no, they were actually right. So. And so we're like, well, how can we... how can we work together? I think we did an improvisation as well before that. And also I came to Aniko's choir.
She
said, "Oh, we're going to learn a Japanese song. Can you come and help me with the pronunciation?"
Which we never did.
She never did it. So I was still in her choir. So she reeled me in.
Yes.
but we finally actually got around to doing the song in the concert. You can sing.
Yes, we did.
You can
so because you musically you come from quite different backgrounds.
I don't know. Do you?
Or
we
not?
Do well, have, yeah. We do have some common ground, and that's what kind of brought the concert together, is that we
so,
both
well, let's
have
talk
American
about the common ground
backgrounds.
In a minute, but let's talk about your background musically, mm-hmm. and then Aniko's background musically, just to cool. see where that sits us.
Mm-hmm. The musically, you do mean music education or
well,
my
your,
experiences?
The music
or?
That's in you that you bring out is because of the life you've lived and how you were brought up, I guess, and the culture you were born into. I don't know, you tell me.
Okay. Well, I think my approach to music is that it's part of personal artistic expression. So it is one channel. In an ensemble of things. So for me, it's movement and body work, performing on stage, in street theatre and circus. So that's my angle on. I'm less comfortable just being a, you know, fitting into the box of a pure musician.
Okay.
But anyway,
so
I mean,
you're not
all...
going to be a colleague of anybody, then, are you? You're going to be a collaborator at the least.
I don't know what to say to him about that, but
it's your Japanese background.
So I guess, and then my musical upbringing is like, I grew up in Australia and Tasmania, and I always loved singing. So I was in children's choirs and madrigals, and I did, you know, musicals and things in school. And then basically I kind of ran away from art and music when I was 17. I felt too vulnerable being judged. So yeah, I ran away from it and studied a degree in Japanese, which took me back to Japan.
The Japanese influences became even stronger then, presumably you picked up on that was in your heritage or?
Yeah, well, I was living in Japan, I was 1920, and I two things, I guess. One thing was I heard Ryuichi Sakamoto, who's he was a friend of David Bowie, actually.
Yeah.
so he had done an album which earlier, but I had just bought it in a music shop, and he mixed together Okinawan singers with his composition, and I just fell in love with that, and so that was kind of what brought me back to more traditional music. And I've always loved folk music as well. I grew up with a lot of folk music in my house, and we have common ground there. So and then the other part of it was I was singing with a vocal ensemble in Japan. They were concentrated mostly about secular, ancient secular music, but Western music. So like Monteverdi and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was leaving, I said, what would you like to take back to Australia with you? And I said, do you have any traditional Japanese kind of repertoire? And so I got a whole bunch of sheet music, from the photocopied sheet music of Japanese sort of more folk music, or when we say folk music, it's not traditional music, it's new folk, or it's new Japanese music, so from that's been probably written from after the modern period, so generally early 20th century. Yeah, that's it.
That's a pretty rich mine.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that. This in so much depth. That's really nice to actually hear.
Okay.
And so, Aniko, where's your...
So, I grew up singing in choirs in Los Angeles. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, but my family is from Hungary.
Yeah.
So, Hungarian was my first language. And so... Music was also almost my first language as well, because we always sang at home. And we sang in the local Hungarian choir in Hungarian. Cool. So that would have been Kodály works, usually working ups of folk music and things like that. So I grew up with that rich heritage of Hungarian folk music. And in fact, I was part of the Hungarian Scouts, which is a diaspora association that's essentially global. And my sister and I both won in our categories, most Hungarian folk songs on the list that we knew. I know over like 400 folk songs.
Wow. It's
really ridiculous. My mom's, I think, is even longer.
Yeah.
But on the West Coast, and I was very proud of that.
Oh, wow, you can be.
I don't know if I still remember all of them. My trajectory was more leading into, my sister sang musical theater, so that was kind of an influence as well. And then I moved into classical training and then subsequently jazz, and then I've just opened out to a variety. But we also had, as Momo was saying, common ground was listening to Joan Baez and listening to Nana Muscuri and listening to, you know, Hungarian folk singing, but also American folk music and new folk, essentially.
Yeah,
that was very much musically influencing us. And me.
So tell us about what the repertoire is in your duo.
So it's a range of Hungarian folk music, which I have, some of which I have taught to Momo, and Momo has taught me some Japanese songs, so we sing some stuff in harmony, some of which we've made ourselves and some of which is written,
yeah, the harmonies, yeah.
Yeah, and same thing with the American spirituals and things like that that were very much a part of our childhood. It's essentially our mothers both sang those things to us, and so we've developed harmonies for those. So it's a cappella music, usually in a reverberant chamber such as a chapel,
church. And there are plenty of those around,
and so we've developed our own versions of those.
And have you recorded anything yet?
Just the live stream, I think.
The live stream so that was recorded.
And that was recorded, yes.
Yeah. What have you got in the diary at the moment?
Yeah, so actually, sorry, the concert's the 1st of August.
The concert's the 1st of August?
Our concert is on the 1st of August.
I thought it was the 31st.
Yeah, I thought it was the 31st, but it's not. It's Thursday, 1st of August at 8 p.m.
Where?
At Luckenville.
Okay.
So it's...
Will you give me the details?
Yeah, I'll give you the details.
On the web,
no problem.
Website.
And so, anyway, our duo concert is called A Cappella Melting Pot.
And the concerts, you did two sets, didn't you? Was about, how long was the concert? It was about 90 minutes altogether?
It's a little over an hour.
Yeah, just a little over
an hour. In total?
Yes.
With a break?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose we did do a little break, didn't we?
We do a little break for decompression of of bottoms on hard seats.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yes, that should be worth mentioning if you're going to a concert in a church. I'm sure most people know by now, take your own cushion.
Yeah, well, take your own cushion and maybe a rug or something, because they can be damp or cold.
And chilly,
Chilly, so, yeah.
Great.
Come prepared.
And so why don't you give us a song?
Oh.
Put us on the spot, will you?
I thought I mentioned that in my message.
No.
I mentioned it when we were talking in the church. We could finish it.
Was I there?
Yes. I just say you were because I've got such a terrible memory. I'm sure you were. So, to sing us out of the program, Aniko and Momo.
La tod baba mosa te aruja reged ni rekeste jarokozat este mikor senki se lát, mégis irig rám az egész világ.
Beautiful. Thank you.